Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Boy, the elections and the markets, first guy I thought of after it was all over was, I wonder what's going to happen. So I was thinking of Dr. Paul Voller from the University of Minnesota Law School and Business School, where he's the John and Bruce Moody Chair. And Dr. Voller, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Well, congressional election results. Stock market. I'm really anxious to hear what you're thinking.
Well, the elections aren't quite over. There are a few nail biters that need to be done, but we know a lot of what's going to happen to the House, to the Senate, and to state as well, state government. And I think it's an interesting thing. The stock market jumped about 2%, 500 plus points yesterday. And there are at least a couple of theories about it. One is that the Republicans outperformed expectations. And so investors are cheering that. They gained seats in the Senate rather than kind of held it steady or lost any. And then it seems like it wasn't quite the blue wave, more of a kind of a blue ripple that goes with it. And so maybe that's above expectations. And investors see that as a surprise that they like. I don't think so in that, though. I think more the alternative interpretation makes sense, which is it's divided government. And it's really down that sweet spot of divided government, because we've got a House which is going to have their own interests. And those interests are going to be around a few things around investigations, but very few policy matters they can hope to push through that Senate. And I think that's what stock markets are cheering right now. What's that line? No man's life, liberty, or property is safe when the legislature is in session. Well, now the legislature is going to have a hard thing doing anything. With one exception, Dave, we should watch in the new year for some kind of infrastructure investment bill. And I think that's where Democrats, Republicans, and even President Trump agree on it. That is, that's another cheer for investors, because that will roar the economy on. That's my take.
So the gridlock might be good for us as investors.
Well, it's good from the standpoint of investors who have already locked in those gains. The first 2 years of unified government were great if you were a big stockholder, if you were a big investor for it. In many respects, they've got theirs. And now the thing is, how do I lock that in, get it reversed? And I think that's what they're looking at. I think things are unlikely to change too much macro policy-wise in the next 2 years.
Let me ask you about some of the state initiatives that were passed, too. Michigan most notably with the marijuana.
Well, it tells you that state elections matter as well, and has a big business. There's a company called, I think it's Tyrell Inc., which is a medical marijuana or cannabis research center. And I think their stock has gone up somewhere around 36-37% in the last 2 or 3 days. It's all because of Michigan's decision in a referendum to allow for recreational marijuana use. A couple states have already done it, Dave, but not in the middle of the Midwest, not in a big industrial area. And I think what this means is that's another indicator that the states are taking a different view than the federal government on marijuana enforcement as an illegal drug. And when that happens, it means players like Tyrell and other exporters in that are going to see big opportunities. Now, it takes investors a little bit of risk.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the same guys who were investing in Bitcoin over the last 3 or 4 years. So let's go from Bitcoin to cannabis. Yeah. But it just shows you that markets are run by fear and greed, and there's a real greed for this. They were willing to bet on a changing view among voters about what we do about marijuana, at least on a recreational basis.
North Dakota said no, I believe, but do you expect this to come up in other states now here in the Midwest?
You know, they're looking at, I would say, in the 2020 cycle, look for same kind of referendum coming up in Ohio and in Illinois. And if you see those go through for recreational use, I think one of them already, I think Illinois has it for medical use. I think you're going to see a wave that comes with this, because it's I'll tell you, for state governments, it's attractive as a new means of taxation. And if they think they can manage the public health issues, and we've got a few examples of that in Colorado and the like, then there's a big economic opportunity, and states are looking for taxation for that.
Let me ask you about Dr. Paul Voller from the University of Minnesota Law and Business School is with us. Drug prices and elections, do they have any – do they influence one another?
You know, that's one area. I talked about the big stimulus that would go with an infrastructure bill. A lot of people are also saying, well, drug prices may be something that will come out. Pharmaceutical companies ought to be watching – looking back, because President Trump has talked about the need for renegotiating that. Of course, Democrats have been hard on that. Here's where I think that's unlikely to go through. Right now, what the proposals are to do a couple of things. Let Medicare kind of and negotiate for these things collectively, and that would be a way to bring down prices. Or they want to index the price of U.S. drugs to the kind of averages around the world, which are much lower than they are here. I think that could make it through the House because I think there's a real sentiment for it, especially with Democrats in there. I think Trump has a sympathy to it. I think the Senate is where this would die, as so many things do with that. There are different views on that. Also, I think Big Pharma has much more influence, and I might add big medical device companies too, which have also a say in this, much more say in the Senate. I think things there might die. So something to talk about, debate, less likely to happen than, say, an infrastructure bill.
How would it affect a Medtronic?
You know, Medtronic is a med device company, but in many years they've also become a pharmaceutical company. You know, those stents that go into us are also coated with all sorts of pharmaceutical, with medical substances to make them less likely to have the body attack them for it. So Medtronic is somewhere in between on that issue, and I'd be interested to hear what they have to say from a legislative and lobbying standpoint, legislative policy standpoint.
Another one I wanted to ask you about, because we watched the governorship change in Wisconsin,
right,
from a two-termer now to a newcomer. Anyway, Foxconn is what I thought of in the Wisconsin gubernatorial election.
You know,
and
we,
what happened?
We talked about that last week a little bit. You know, the Foxconn investment from last year with this multi-billion-dollar investment by the Taiwanese LCD electronics maker and a multi-billion-dollar subsidy package that Governor Walker offered. It looked like a great deal. A lot of people touted it, President Trump, back in 2017, but pretty quickly it soured with Wisconsin voters, unless you're in Racine, where they're going to get the jobs at about $230,000 in subsidy per job, then it looks like from the standpoint of Wisconsin voters that they see it's not a plus. It's a big loser. In fact, it's a kind of a financial albatross. I don't think that's the only reason that Walker lost in a nail biter to Evers, but it certainly didn't help. Evers made that as big, one of his big campaign arguments, that here's a Republican who's supposed to know business, and he made a bad investment. And it looks like that stuck with Wisconsin voters.
But what can he do about it now, the new governor?
I don't know. Contracts are sticky things, Dave. And I could see it from the standpoint of the Foxconn is that they're going to try to say, look, you made a deal. We're going through with this. If we make the investments, you got to come through with it. There is a little bit of a loophole. Foxconn has not come through with the kind of factory with the state-of-the-art LCDs that they promised. They've got kind of last generations. You know, when in doubt, you can think of states as being opportunistic rebargainers. We'll see what Tony Evers does as governor.
United Natural Foods and Super Value.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The end of Super Value, but not the end of Cub. And so we've got this chain of retails, and it looks like United Natural Foods wants to sell them off. The question is, do they have a buyer? Is there a way? Is there a duenna looking for a bride on this? Hy-Vee, which is based out of Des Moines, is I kind of think the front runner on this. But I'm not sure. You know, Hy-Vee has got capital constraints, and they want to build internally. I think we should look elsewhere, maybe even overseas. There are a couple of big German grocers that are coming into this market. One's called Lidl, L-I-D-E-L. Watch them. They like big stores like Cub has. They have a lot of capital and interest in expanding quickly in the Middle West. So if you're a broker, maybe you should learn a little German.
I was we were going out to eat the other night, and we had been somewhere. And so we said, oh, let's stop at this little place in a mall. And that mall had a Sears anchor store, and that is not there anymore. And as I drove through where the Sears lot was, all of these car dealers had trucks and cars backed way up on the lot. Well, I mean, obviously they're renting that space. And then I looked around in other parts of town, and I noticed there's a plethora. I saw it again yesterday, where there's not usually trucks and brand new cars, but they're sitting on these lots, which obviously the dealers either own or they're renting. And is that all related to the tariffs?
I think that is. We should watch for two things. Watch for what's going to happen with exports and auto technology in the next round. I think you might see tariffs there. And then farmers should be watching with corn. I think now the elections are over. I think the gloves are off for Trump and China on this tariff. We'll have to watch it very closely.
Here's the problem with you and me. I just get carried away, and I just realized, sorry, Dave, I will have gone too long again. Paul, always good to see you.
It's great to see you as well, Dave.
Dr. Paul Voller from the University of Minnesota Carlson School, and it's...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.